Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Love that Hank Snow, I'll tell you right now. Hello, I'm Johnny Chow. Welcome to another one of my wild podcasts. Today I have a real special guest. I'm really happy to have this man on the show. A true legend, Mr. Frank Carroll Mazza. Frank was heard across America in the 1980s on a 50,000-watt clear channel station, WWVA, in Wheeling, West Virginia. He also hosted Jamboree in the Hills, which was an incredible event, I guess, each and every year, where he appeared on stage before tens of thousands of country music fans. Frank also performed on other radio stations in four states and was also a news anchor and also worked on a rock and roll station. And I want to say, welcome, Frank. Hope you're well. How are you today?
Hey, real good, Johnny. And I just want to say from the outset, thank you for this honor of being on your podcast. And I'll tell you, I've heard about you for years and years, and you have really, really shined amongst the disc jockeys.
Well, you know, the thing is, I started off in radio and went into other things and like concert promotion and management. But I've been around a lot of major stars. And when I spoke to you initially and heard about all the people from Elvis Presley to Dolly Parton and all the great country music people you've been with, interviewed and hung out with, you have a bunch of stories. So I'm more interested in hearing about you today. and all you've done. I know it was back in the late 60s when you started on WWVA. Was that about the right time?
70. I'm sorry, I got the wrong date there. 1979.
Oh, 79. Okay. All right. But you spent how many years on that station? Sure is. And the thing is, back then, those AM stations had a pretty good, strong signal. They went across many states.
We covered 18 states and 6 Canadian provinces. And I was also the all-night trucking disc jockey. And I know you've heard of the name Buddy Ray.
Yes.
All-night trucking disc jockey. And Lee Moore, the coffee-drinking Nighthawk. And I followed in their footsteps. After all those years,
a lot of those guys too. I bet they got a lot of phone. I don't know. It wasn't phone calls, but I bet there was a lot of CB action going on back and forth between the truckers talking about all the good music. Now, some of the people you've worked with, and you know, you've probably done a lot of interviews, I'm sure, with many of the country greats. And share some of those stories. You know, you've been around quite a bit of people, and the Jamboree in the Hills. That must have been a great time because you met everyone. You were backstage with a lot of people. What were some of the wildest times you experienced backstage? Hello, Frank. Are you there? Yeah, it's signal's always a hassle. You're not hearing me?
It just keeps bleeping out. When you ask a question, I can't hear the question.
Do you have we may have to stop this and go ahead and catch you on a landline.
Okay.
Do you have another phone number I can call yet?
Yeah, 740-633-3823.
And that's the number I called.
Oh, okay. That's the landline.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering why we're getting cut off here, but let's keep going and see what happens, okay?
Okay.
I guess
maybe spice it in.
I guess my question was, you know, you were you hosted the Jamboree in the Hills event, and there was many, many big stars. Give me an idea of some of the people that performed on that at that event.
From 78 all the way through 91, that was my stint in that station. Johnny Cash, Sonny James, a lot of minor stars, and Charlie Rich.
Some big names there. So you got to hang out with Johnny Cash?
Oh, he used to call me on the phone and ask me on the air how his daughter's Roseanne's songs were doing on the charts.
See that?
And we became friends. I've got his guitar pick also that he let me have.
Well, in the early days of radio, a lot of the artists themselves used to get out there and bring the records down to the DJs and actually promote their own records.
Yeah, T.G. Shepherd, Jerry Reed visited me on my birthday, and he had mentioned, "I'm going to come down and talk to you, and we can do a big interview." And Jerry Reed came down on April 16th. Which is my birthday, and we did a 2-hour stint, and we had the TV stations come in from the local town, the Wheeling, West Virginia area. People will remember me from doing most of the jamborees from the Capitol Music Hall almost every Saturday night, unless, you know, I got sick or something, but that was rare. So there was days when I worked 17 hours a day on Saturdays. We had two shows, 7 and 10 o'clock, and that was in the Capitol Theater. It held over 3,000 people, and I had to do live warm-ups to the audience through the seats and with a roving microphone.
And the microphone had a long cord on it, right?
Yeah, that was the days before regular
wireless. Mic. Yeah, there was no wireless back then. And so you met a lot of people there, I'm sure.
They were from everywhere. They were from New York. They were from all over the United States. They'd come down in buses. We had buses lining the streets here in the Wheeling area. And it was quite an experience, you know, to see some of the stars that I played their records for years and years, you know, like Marty Robbins. Man, what a character he was. He was wonderful, a wonderful singer. And
now with these guys, you know, a country music people, I did Willie Nelson's Picnic 1 year, and, you know, they're notorious for partying. I'm sure they all had their booze backstage back then too, huh? A lot of guys drinking their whiskey and before they went on. I mean, did you see a lot of that going on? Hi, Frank. Hello. Well, we're having some technical difficulties back and forth here from Wheeling, West Virginia to New York. Hopefully we'll get Frank on again here. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll get right back with you. Thank you. Hello there. We're back. Johnny Chow back with Frank Mazza, country music legendary DJ. And we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but that's okay. We're back with Frank. How you doing? Are you there, Frank?
Going real, real good.
All right.
And I'll tell you, it's quite an honor being right here with you, and you're a legend yourself, you know?
Well, you know, maybe so. Who knows? I mean, I've been with a lot of celebrities, but we left off basically where you were hosting this show at the Capitol Theater, as well as Jamboree in the Hills, where many, many country stars appeared. And I guess it was kind of like it was like a little mini Grand Ole Opry right there in Wheeling, huh?
It was. It was the second running live country music show in the United States from 1938 all the way up until later 80s and into the 90s. But I wanted to tell you that the Jamboree's parent firm was Columbia Pictures Industries from California.
Hmm.
And they brought, you know, they had a big hand in presenting, you know, Jamboree in the Hills and the Capitol Music Hall, the people, the world famous, and they were back then, the stars like Donna Fargo, Tom T. Hall, Crystal Gayle. I held her baby when she did a show at the Music Hall. Mel Tillis, from whom I know you knew.
Yeah, Mel actually.
Charlie Pride,
mm-hmm.
who actually held the record. He had four big shows, and people lined up for two or three city blocks. And I met him a long time ago in Germany when I was in the service during the Vietnam era. And I got to see him for the very first time. Actually, that's what got me into country music. I love the way he sang. And do you remember Bill Anderson and Mary Lou Turner?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And Dave and Sugar.
My first book was called Cooking with Country Music Stars, so a lot of those artists that were in there, you know, Brenda Lee and Mel Tillis and Bobby Bear and Tom T. Hall, Ray Stevens, we wound up doing a video outside of Nashville. I had little Brenda Lee, I had put her on a little box because she was too small there for the set, and so Brenda
yeah,
Lee...
I drink Coca-Cola. She asked me to go get her a Coke backstage. And I drank from her bottle, and for 2 weeks I had a sore throat.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Anyway, Ronnie Millsap was one of my favorite singers. He started then. I used to watch him set up his shows and count the steps from the stage to the audience. And he was quite the performer. Dick Curless, who was a truck driver and disc jockey. Dolly's sister came in, beautiful girl, Stella Parton. I understand that she did country gospel later on. Mo Bandy, you heard of Mo and Joe, right? Joe Stampley?
I don't know, that name doesn't... Joe Stampley?
Yeah.
He formerly
started in rock and roll many years ago, and he did a song called All These Things. And Barbara Mandrell appeared there. Dave Dudley, the truck driving son of a gun.
Wow.
But it was a big party. Jamboree in the Hills started back in 1978 in July. It ran for 2 days, the 15th and 16th, 1978. Roy Clark, the Blue Ridge Quartet, in a place called Brush Run Park. And the disc jockeys had to keep the crowds safe, you know. It was patrolled, and the people that started Woodstock many years ago, they are the ones that actually started or helped us start Jamboree in the Hills.
Well, that was Michael Lang, who was one of the founders of Woodstock. But Jamboree in the Hills was held in Morristown, Ohio. Is that right?
Morristown, Ohio.
Yeah, right.
Some of the people, like Mace Nutter, he's from my hometown. He used to appear on TV with Buddy Ebsen as his camera sidekick. Ray Stevens, one of the best local people was Doc and Chickie Williams.
I don't think I've ever heard of those. That duo.
Yeah, well, Doc Williams and Chickie used to travel up and down the East Coast, and they were representatives of the Jamboree, and they would do shows in Canada, Ontario.
Right.
And yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis dedicated his whole show to me one time. He says, "Hey Frank," he says, "next when I finish my show, I'm gonna fall off of this piano stool." And he brought his sister, which I can't remember her name right offhand, but she was quite the singer too.
Wow.
I got to meet quite a few stars, and to bring be part of their shows from 78 to 91.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I see that that it was taken over eventually here over the last decade or so by Live Nation, which is one of the largest concert promotion company. Live Nation pretty much runs all the shows in the U.S. these days and abroad. And what they did is they came in and bought out all the local promoters. They probably still left a lot of them in place, but like people like Alex Cooley down in Atlanta and various people were the big promoters were bought out by Live Nation. And
yes, they were.
And I see that Live Nation actually officially canceled the Jamboree in the Hills on November 7th in 2018. So I guess there hasn't been one then since 2018. Yeah.
Well, we were hoping because it brought a lot of income into the area.
I'm sure. Now you did.
Kelly Warren, you remember Kelly Warren?
Nope, don't know that name.
She was. She started singing when she was only 3 years old, but she turned out to be a pretty good star later on. But I introduced a majority of the big stars, like the ones you mentioned, Bobby Bear and a few others. Janie Fricke, I know you remember her.
Yes, yes.
Billy Crash Craddock.
Of course, yeah. Did you
Eddie Rabbit?
Did you get much in the way of memorabilia or any autographs and all that?
Yeah, I've got a few autographs. Doing the show, and backstage gets real busy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been with so many people, and we didn't have cell phones in a lot of those in those days, but I never even got autographs from people that I was close to. I always felt like it made you don't want to feel like one of the fans, because as you're working with these people, you kind of wanted to fit in with them and not be one of the fans, asking for photos and autographs. So I missed out on a lot of that, but certainly
you didn't want to be a groupie.
That's it. That's the word. But the memories still exist, and that's what's important. And I know you have many, many, many memories of all this. Now, at one point, you mentioned something about Elvis Presley. What was your connection with Elvis?
I was on the air at one of the smaller stations back when he passed away.
Okay.
The AP machine came across with Elvis, that he passed away. And I had to broadcast that day that he had passed away. I never really got to meet him, but that's one guy that I would love to have seen and done his show.
Yeah, that would have been a nice to have that recording. Now, do you have any of these interviews that you've done over the years? Did you save any of these air checks?
Yeah, I've got one from Loretta Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the all-night trucking show, and I've got it on a huge reel-to-reel. She talked about the time that when she was a young girl in Butcher Holler that she couldn't walk. And she was like 4 years old until she could actually walk.
Wow.
She never told too many people that.
That must have been devastating.
It was.
Yeah.
But I kept a few. Basically, I was pretty, like I say, I used to work 17 hours a day on Saturdays. And we would do, well, I would do the all-night jamboree after midnight, after both shows at the Capitol Music Hall. We had a room set up with all the equipment in it, and then I'd have to plug everything in and do one from upstairs. And so sometimes Jack Green would come up, the Oak Ridge Boys, Alabama, and we had an upstairs small stage, and a lot of the stars would get up there and sing. Eddie Arnold.
Wow.
Yeah, we would cater dinners for some of the stars, a majority of most of the stars. I'll tell you, under Columbia Pictures, it was wonderful.
Well, they had the muscle and also the money to do it right, you know. So you sound like me. You were doing food and music. That's my life.
I loved country music, and you know, I had an on the air show from. I was an afternoon disc jockey, also from. I do a doctor show like 11 in the morning till 12 noon. Then I do my show from after Paul Harvey and his comments from 12:30, 1 o'clock up until 6-7 o'clock in the evening, and I had my own show on there.
Now, those were long shifts.
Yeah, I worked pretty hard to feed the family.
Well, these days they don't give DJs that kind of time. They're lucky they get three to four hours, and then they're off the air. The next guy's on the air, and but
yeah, majority of the jocks that I've heard just do one liners. You know, you're listening to so and so. They don't give the history of, or even back announce the stars' names and what they've done.
No, the only people that do that are college radio stations and public broadcast stations. First of all, everything's automated. They're not even playing records.
That's true.
I remember, you know, the old Roscoe turntables, and we had records, and we, you know, had to play the records, and that was fun. That was fun being a DJ like that. Today they sit there, everything's pre-programmed, they go out, sometimes they're not even sitting there, and you know, it's a whole nother world now. And first of all, country music is another world. It's hard to find. I go on the internet to find old country music. I mean, I don't even know why they call it country stations, why they call these stations country, because the music they're playing is total pop music.
Trying to keep it country is Brad Paisley, and Brad Paisley lives, well, he did live about approximately 15 miles away from me here, and I got to tell you a story. During the Iraq War, which my son Scott was in, there was a boy named Anderson, and a Scud missile hit his tent, and not to sound real gross, but it blew his leg off.
Oh boy! Yeah.
And Brad Paisley and I, and a guy named Joe Blair, head of Carnival in his hometown of Marshall County, Glendale, and Moundsville, West Virginia. And Brad and I raised enough money to buy the guy a prosthesis, and we got him a truck and got him a job at a bank.
Oh, that's fantastic, Frank.
You know, Brad's got a big heart, and it was Brad and I drove the truck up. He thought he was done when we brought the truck up, but then we got the prosthesis for him, for his leg.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Wasn't a dry eye in the crowd.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I still do a lot of benefits, and I've been doing for the past several years, the United benefits for the United States war dogs, all the dogs that come back. And these dogs suffer from PTSD as well.
Absolutely. It's a terrible thing to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But no, it's good, Frank. You got a good heart, and we're kind of running out of time, but I definitely enjoy. I know we could go on forever talking, and perhaps we'll have you back again to continue, but certainly a pleasure. And I wish you and your family the best, and, just stay well.
Thank you, Johnny. And God bless you for what you do for radio and radio people and the vets.
You're welcome, and it's a good feeling, because I've been actually taking care of my family for the past 8 years now, mom and dad, and that to me doing good for people is what counts in this world today.
That's what would make America back on track again.
That's for sure. Well, listen, Frank, you have a beautiful day, and once again, thank you so much for coming on. You be well.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Frank Carroll, great guy. Incredible. He's got a lot of stories that we try to get as many out as we could today. You're on the spot. You're thinking about sometimes you're on a roll with your stories, and sometimes, you kind of forget what's going on. I mean, I forget. I've done interviews where I'm totally lost, but this was a good one, Frank Carroll. And once again, I'm Johnny Chow. Thanks for listening. And we're going to end it with the essential Hank Snow. Let's give it up for me while it plays a boogie in the sound of American style.